Namngiyakhona, the podcast inspiring entrepreneurs in South Africa. Because if it's going to be, it's up to me.
Nazo bafethu sesibuyile. We are back to Namngiyakhona and always excited to have you and to chat to South Africa's most inspiring and entrepreneurial minds. We bring you these every single week, but at least today, I'm very excited to share with you the guests that we have. I do want to remind you guys, every time when you are feeling inspired or when you do have a question and you're thinking, how is that possible? How can that work for me? If you want to drop a question, pop it in the comments, revert back to us. We really want to hear from you and we love hearing from you, and we'll try and make sure that the guest does get back to you. At least you get a response. From me, your host, I welcome you again to Namngiyakhona, because really what we want to say is that if change is going to happen and if your dreams are going to come true, it's only going to be up to you. And today our guest has truly proven that in a world that is very competitive and one of the largest sectors in South Africa. Philani, thank you so much for joining us today and welcome to the show.
Pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure to have you, Philani. The youngest F&B CEO or Chief Executive Officer, which is heading up, you know, you're heading up F&B Easy, and as I understand it, is the largest customer segment group at the bank, and it's one of the five customer segments at the bank, largest by number of people transacting on it, or at least the market possible for it. And you've recently been recognized as well by Mail and Guardian as South Africa's top young 200 South Africans. And you take a background in commerce, looking at information systems, working at the bank since about 2009, rising through the ranks to now be, again, the youngest F&B CEO ever. A true journey and an inspiring journey as well. And I think a lot of it must have come from, you know, somewhere that drove you deep inside. I really want to understand, what is it that you'd say drives you to grow and to thrive in the work that you do?
So firstly, I mean, thanks for having me again. And I think if I just think back to where I come from, I mean, I come from the Eastern Cape, and I was born in deep rural Eastern Cape, you know, 1 hour bus drive to town, and no electricity, no running water. And, you know, we used to get so excited when we saw one car a week, you know. And really, that is my background. And I remember my grade one, we didn't have a proper classroom. Parts of the roof were missing, no windows, no doors. And, you know, on cold winter days, we'd have to gather firewood in order to keep ourselves warm because we had no other choice. And I think just reflecting on that background, I made a decision very early in my life that I wanted to be something better. I wasn't going to end up being one of the guys that sat around in our rural village and just focus on herding cows and sheep and all the livestock and just worry about what am I going to drink today, and worry about, you know, what am I going to eat, and worrying about that one meal a day. And I wanted so much better for my life. And I was fortunate in that my mother was a school teacher, and she took us out of that rural village in Mount Frere, and she took us to Emadade. And that's when I got exposed to a different life. You know, a life where now all of a sudden I could see, you know, people had careers, and I started watching TV, and some of these things started making sense to me. And I made a decision back then, and I said, you know what, I wanted to be something big. when I grow up. And I had a conversation with my mother, you know, what does it take to be something big? And she said to me, you have to go to school. And there's no other way. There are no shortcuts. And that really stuck with me. I knew I had to go to school and I knew I had to dig some trenches and go through, get matric, from matric, go to varsity, get a degree, and then take that degree and go and try and find a job. And really, it's that background that has driven me to be where I am today.
Powerful, powerful. And I really love the ideas that you're sharing around, you know, being inspired by your environment, but also reaching out and asking, how can I make my decision true? How can I make my dream true? And the point you highlighted, they're very interesting. That education is key. Learning is one of those keys. And as I understand, you graduated matric at 15, when, you know, some of us were in grade 9 or grade 8 or grade 10 at that time. But you were already thinking, okay, where am I going to now go study? Really want to go into how did that happen? You know, and was that part of that drive that made that happen?
So when I was in matric, I always knew that I wanted to study IT. And the background that I spoke to earlier, which is, you know, coming from a rural area where there's literally nothing. So those two things just carried me through. And most importantly, I think just also, you know, being in tune to the environment and the people around me. I always looked at my mother and how hard she worked. And I think that is applicable to all of us. All the kids at school today, you know, if you just took a second to just look at your parents or your grandparents or your guardians, and just think about how hard they work to provide for all of us. And that thing for me was just unbelievable. And I knew that I never wanted to disappoint my mother because she goes through so much. She had to go and borrow money from unbelievable places just to ensure that there's food on the table and that we went to school. So all of those things just drove me. And eventually I got to matric and I just blazed through my matric year. And fortunately for me, I had applied to go to university. I went to the University of KZN. And yeah, following year, I started my first year at the University of KZN.
Really fantastic idea on being in tune with the people around you. Because now, as Chief Executive Officer at FNBEZ, you are serving the kind of people that your parents were, and the kind of people that many of our parents are, and to be able to serve them, you know, is you need to be in tune with them. And I think that background as well, where you're coming from, and was also about being in tune and understanding, you know, okay, hard work is the difference between what I want and what I'm seeing now. And actually maybe one day I might even be able to help, you know, my community and the people that have raised me and helped me. Could you talk us through, you know, that essence of understanding people and how you're serving those people and having empathy and being in tune with those people has been important for your role and the work that you've been doing at the bank?
So, you know, if I just think about South Africa, the struggle that our parents, our uncles, our aunts, our grandparents, and just the people around us. I'll even pick our helper, Usisi, here, who helps us look after our kids. When I look at them, I see myself because that's what I know. That's how I grew up. I may live in Johannesburg North today, but I always feel like I I actually don't belong here. It's even funny that, you know, sometimes on Fridays when we are sitting outside, I sing here, and I feel sorry for my neighbors because I sometimes take a stick and I'm singing alone, and my son joins me, and we are singing in isiXhosa as if, you know, we were sitting around a fire as a group of men. But that just demonstrates that I see myself in the market that I serve. And I guess that is why it is so easy for me to sit around these boardroom tables and say exactly what we need to change and what we need to do for this market, because I didn't have to go to school to understand what our people are struggling with. I was brought up in these environments. I don't have to go to school or have someone else tell me that a Black South African family in the township or a Black South African family in the rural areas, whether it's Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Diepsloot, or Alexos, Soweto, I don't need anyone to tell me what the challenges are, because I have experienced those things. And therefore, because of that understanding and my understanding of the banking system or financial services, how do I bring the two together to just ensure that what we do just resonates with these customers and helps them solve their day-to-day problems? So that is in fact I always say this is not a job for me. It's not. I just happen to get paid for something I honestly believe I have to do. You know, I was brought up in these communities, and it's the least I can do to just give back to them in a way that even our parents and our people and our communities don't think they need, because that's another challenge we have in a lot of the businesses, even in banking. A normal person in the township will never wake up and say, I need a bank account. It just does not work like that. There is another reason. Our people just want to receive money. The bank account is a means to an end. So how do you take that basic understanding of the market, just given what we've discussed now, and bring financial solutions that meet those needs? And really, that's what I've been trying to do over the year that I've been in this role.
In the journey of solving these problems that, you know, are so connected to your purpose and passion, how does working with others fit in? How does leadership fit in? How does communication fit in for you? As young people, when we want to make changes in society, what should we be thinking about in order to impact that at a scale that is big?
So I have heard to learn this the hard way, but often I ask myself, what are my strengths and what are my weaknesses or development areas? And one of the things that I made peace with is the fact that I will never change who I am and my background. When I started working, I used to worry about how I come across, and I used to worry about the fact that I didn't go to a Model C school, and therefore maybe how I come across, I may miss certain tenses here and there. But I actually made peace with that, because that's not what the world is looking for. The world is not here to judge you on how you articulate yourself. The world is looking for change makers and people to make a difference. I often reflect at just the role that, you know, Black African women have played in our communities, and really the fact that we have been raised by Black African women. They raise societies, they are holding our societies together. But you go and you have a conversation with them, no one, they don't even worry about whether they understand English or not. It's just about purpose. It's about having a vision. And it's about learning to articulate that vision and getting the people around you to buy into what you are trying to do. And if you think about it, even at school today, you get a group of youngsters that are perceived to be cool. You get a group of youngsters that want to make a difference. I never wanted to be the coolest guy in the class or in the community. I always wanted to be the guy that makes a difference and touches people positively. And sometimes it even starts at home. I made it a point that every evening, for instance, I would go to my mother as she was preparing to go to bed. And I would, you know, sit with her, have a conversation with her, and maybe sing with her. And that's where it started with me. It started within my family environment. It started with getting the people around me to buy into what I wanted to achieve. And that's why I guess at FNB today, the people around me, first of all, I don't see them as people that work for me. It's funny. I mean, I look at my team and I know sometimes they're scared of me because they look up to me. I'm the leader. But I say they don't work for me. They work with me. They are partnering with me to achieve what I want us to achieve. And I have a responsibility to then ensure that I'm able to sell my vision. I have a responsibility to ensure that, you know, they buy into what I'm trying to do. And as a collective, we have a responsibility to ensure that our customers then buy into what we are trying to do for them. And that's why it's also important that our customers then understand that we aren't coming from a place of not knowing what they need. We are coming from a place of being there and then providing solutions that are making a difference to their lives. So that's how I go about with my business on a daily basis.
You know, I've got a big passion for financial literacy, and so glad that we can be having a leader in banking to come tell us, Guti, because we all want to change our lives. We want to make our financial lives better. But as young people, you know, our families, you know, don't know what how we should be handling money. You know, I could have never gotten advice from my parents or my uncles or anyone around me on how to handle money. So maybe you've got some thoughts for us at a high school. What are the key things for us to remember and how we can grow in learning how to handle our money better?
Sure, that is, I love that question because. So there's two things, right? Let me maybe just start by reflecting as a CEO. It doesn't matter the CEO of at what scale. The one principle all of us have to learn, and it starts at high school, is that you must spend less than you earn at all times. That is the one thing that all of us must just remember. If you get 2 rands or 10 rands, okay, you just cannot take that whole 10 rands and go and spend it and then go and borrow from your friend because you want to buy for 12 rands. That's a recipe for disaster. Now, if we cannot get that thing right in our personal lives, there is no way as a CEO or someone that's running their own businesses, you can get it right. Let's take a practical example. Elokshini or in the rural areas today, there's that one guy that's standing in the corner and he's selling, or umama, they're selling sweets and they're selling chips and they're selling airtime, okay? We often look at those people and you're like, nah, I will never do this. But I'm telling you now, when you start spending more time with those people, you actually start to realize that, geez, the financial knowledge that is sitting here is unbelievable. And when it comes to finances, the principles are the same. The only difference is just scale. Sometimes you've got 100 million that you have to make a decision on how to spend it and how to invest it. Sometimes you've got $100. Sometimes you've got 10 rands. But the principles are the same. And for me, the starting point is spending less than you earn. You can even take that into businesses. If as a business, even some of these state-owned enterprises we read about in the news, they are in financial trouble. But if you read a little bit more, you find out that there's actually some financial mismanagement here. That simply just means people spent less than what was coming in, you know. So for me, even just with our families, I mean, I talk a lot to families and lakshin in the townships and in the rural areas, and it's just about understanding how much is coming in. If you just understand how much is coming in or how much you get, and then you understand your needs, then you then start to understand how much is it that you need to be spending, either on a daily basis or on a weekly basis. But the key here is you must never spend more than you earn, because that's how we get into debt. And then you must also just link it to one of the things we are suffering from as societies is we want to be what we are not. We want to look at the second person or your friends, and you don't fully understand the dynamics there, and you see your friend, they wearing all stars. I mean, I battled with the same thing when I was growing up. They wearing a pair of Levi's jeans, and I came back home and I said to my mother, "Hey, mama, this person has got a new pair of All Stars. Can you?" And my mother would say, "No, but I don't have money to do that. Where do you expect me to get it from?" And unfortunately, then some of our parents, because they want to please us and work so hard, you know, so that we are okay and for our well-being, they then go and borrow money in order to buy that pair of All Stars. So those are some of the things that we have to watch out for. If you get those principles right, you can come in and run your own business, and you will know that just basic understanding of these finances, how much is coming in, how much do I need to spend? But you must make sure that you don't spend more than you earn.
Love it so much. I really want to go into chatting to 16-year-old Pilani now. And if you were to see 16-year-old Pilani, what would you say to them if they were doubting their dream or not knowing what that dream should be, what to study, what kind of person to be? Why shouldn't I buy All Stars, or at least these days, I don't know if it's Yeezys or Nike, so what is the latest? But yes, Masifuna, the latest, yeah. Yeezy. We want to have the latest Versace shirt. Why should we how to decide to sacrifice that and for our dream and be confident in our dream?
So there's three things. Now, if I just maybe think back to myself as a 16-year-old, there are three things that one often has to look at. The first one is you must look at yourself. And you must quickly make a decision. Do you want something out of your life or not? Because for me, that is like an easy decision to make, whether you know what you want to be or not. But just settling it in your heart that, you know what, I want to make something out of my life. And sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, you're looking at the school principal in your community, and you can see, hey, this guy's living the life, man. He's driving the nicest car, a great wife, kids, a great house. maybe the dream starts there. You look at him and you're like, I actually want to be like this person. So you have to settle it in your heart first that I want to make something out of my life. And really that is where my career started. And then the second thing is you also have to look at the people around you. So the first point is to be able to manage yourself. If you can't manage yourself, then you will never lead. You will never be seen as a leader in any community, right? You have to be able to manage yourself. And the nice thing is that if you go to communities and schools today, there are 16-year-olds, there are 14-year-olds, you look at them and you're like, ah, this person is going somewhere. This child is going somewhere. Because there's something about them that they're not a liker of things. They know where they are going. They come to school every morning and you can see they are trying to give it their all. Even when they fail, it doesn't really bother them because, you know, they take the lesson or the learning out of that and they wake up and they want to improve themselves. So it's not impossible. But you also then, the next step is to then look at others. There are friends that will take you nowhere. Whether you are a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old, or a 16-year-old, or a 20-year-old, there are friends that will not take you anywhere. But we are so afraid as school children or school pupils or students to make that decision to say, okay, maybe so and so is not good for me, you know. But there's no one that's going to make those kind of decisions for you. You must make those decisions for you. I've made those decisions for myself. There are people I used to be friends with, but with time I realized that if I stick with them, I'm telling you, 5 years from now, I'm going to be in prison or whatever the case is. You know. So the reality is you also have to look at the people around you and make decisions quickly as to which kind of people do I want to surround myself with. And there are those friends that will support you and will follow up and say, have you done your homework? How much did you get for your test? And then if you got like 50 something, they then say, what can we do better next time? Let's go and study. There are those people. So choose those people. And then the third thing to look at is the environment. Now, I've removed myself from an environment that was toxic for me. When I got to university, you won't believe this, but I struggled in my first year. I got two supplementaries and then the one I failed, and I was getting, for the first time in my life, I was getting 50-something percent in my tests and in my exams, and it was a shock to my system. But I reflected and I said, no, but maybe this Durban environment is not for me. It's too fast for me. And maybe I need to take myself out of this environment. And I did exactly that. I moved from the Durban campus to the Pietermaritzburg campus. And when I got to Pietermaritzburg, it was calmer, more homely. It was an environment with people who support my vision. And people were hardworking and people who knew what they came to varsity for. And within 3 years there, I had gotten my honors degree. So I think that example is applicable to all of us. You have to manage yourself. You have to manage those around you. And when something is not working, you pull yourself out of that environment. And I think those three things are definitely what I would talk to a 16-year-old Philani about.
Philani, siyabulela, enkosi, baya danki. Great to have heard from you those wisdoms or that wisdom and also the nuggets of knowledge that you've shared with us. Really inspiring. And from the show at Namgeyakhona, we just want to say thank you and wish you so much more success and prosperity on your journey.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for having me and all the best.
I know Ziyakhipha mhlambi nathi masesifaka some CVs, we can send them to Mr. Botswana there, and he might be able to put us on a journey where we can also work on our dreams, serving people that are just like us, our friends, our families, uncles. But until then, you might have been inspired, you want to get in touch, comment down below. Contact us. Really love to hear from you. Follow us on social media. And we want to make sure that the best entrepreneurial minds and entrepreneurs in the country are able to share how they've made successes of their journeys. Until next time, thank you once again from me, your host, Buntu Majaja. See you on the next time.
Stay inspired and be entrepreneurial. Follow us on social media and find us on WhatsApp. Namgiyakhona.